Our gospel today is a series of questions that lead us into a deeper understanding, I think, of what our Lord is actually concerned with in terms of who we are, what image is stamped upon us. But we can ask ourselves, how do we use questions? Typically. So there's the practical questions, you know, what time is it? How do I get from here to there? You know, the question no man ever asked, right? What do we do today? What's on the schedule? All of those things. Very practical, straightforward answers. Usually no agenda behind them. Sinful information. Then there's the questions that are a little deeper and have to do with actually, you know, relations. How are you? And you actually mean it. Right? What's going on? And you're actually interested. You're concerned. Then there's another layer of questions that have to do with where we are in the world, our stance. Right? Do you love me? Do you forgive me? And then there's a deeper level of questions that we ask ourselves, why am I here? Does it all have any meaning at all? Or are we just simply material beings, biological entities that are on this speck of dust in the middle of the cosmos and it means nothing? Those are the questions, right? From the mundane to the metaphysical. That's what we ask ourselves. And then there's questions that have no good answer. How does this make me look? Right, guys? What do you say to that? Do I look good in this? Well, if you say yes, well, you're just saying that, and you're not honest with me. If you say no, well, now you're dumb. Right? And it led me to wonder, actually, what are the questions that men ask women that women realize there's no good answer to this question? And I'm pretty sure it's not the same. And I'd be interested to hear, you can talk amongst yourself after Mass, what those questions are that men ask women that the women are like, there's no good answer to this question. I would bet that most of those have to do with seeking approval for something he's already done. Is that right? You know, honey, what if we bought a boat? And of course, he's already bought a Wave Runner. So he's setting it up, right? They come to our Lord today in the gospel. And they start with this praise. But the praise is insincere. They're simply seeking out of malice to entrap him. And they ask him a question which is debated among their scholars. You have these groups. You have the zealots who do not pay the tax, and they think no Jew should pay the tax because the inscription and the face is that of someone claiming to be divine. Tiberius, son of the divine Augustus, is stamped on the Roman coin. And so the zealot says, religiously and in true faith, you cannot even touch that coin, for it is idolatry. To even use it in transactions is idolatry. Then you have the Herodians, also Jews, but they're part of the ruling class. They help run the government. And their argument is, it is good that the Romans are here. It's simply a coin. Who cares what's stamped on it? They make the roads straight. They keep the province safe, they keep peace, and they keep the Persians out. So let's pay the tax. Then you have the Pharisees who are split in the sense that they say it is actually unlawful to pay the tax religiously, but expedient. It's expedient in the sense that while we object on religious or moral grounds, it's good to pay it because the Romans buy us at least a modicum of peace and a small area in which we can practice the faith freely. So that's why at the beginning of the gospel, you have both the disciples of the Pharisees and the Herodians who come together for a united purpose to entrap our Lord. Their questioning is insincere. They do not come to our Lord to seek an answer, to be instructed, to grow in wisdom, and specifically, they certainly do not come to our Lord thinking they need to come closer to God, to life, to the good news of the gospel. The question we have to ask ourselves when we come to God, what are we seeking? What are we actually asking? When we come to the church, do we actually seek to be instructed, to be formed? Or do we seek to justify ourselves? It's a good question. Where do you actually look for answers? Whom do you look to? If you're able to answer that, if you're able to go through this next week and look at the questions you ask, how many times do you ask a sincere question of somebody else that's actually interested, seeking understanding, wanting to gain something from their wisdom, from their presence? How many times do you actually ask a question that's pointed, has a little bit of an agenda, or is actually a question directed towards instructing them? If I ask this question, they'll know that I'm trying to tell them they should be thinking like this. How many times in the coming week do you ask a question of God, of His church, that is actually seeking to grow closer to the Lord? At the end, the Lord says, whose image is stamped on there? The image that is stamped upon our hearts. We are created in the image and likeness of God. That image becomes more defined, more clearly represented, more present to both our own hearts and those who know us, based on the questions we ask and the sincerity with which we ask them.